On the outskirts of the city, they came to a supermarket, a few old cars in the trash-strewn parking lot. They left the cart in the lot and walked the littered aisles. In the produce section at the bottom of the bins, they found a few ancient runner beans and what looked to have once been apricots, long dried to wrinkled effigies of themselves. The boy followed behind. They pushed out through the rear door. In the alleyway behind the store, a few shopping carts, all badly rusted. They went back through the store again, looking for another cart, but there were none. By the door were two soft drink machines that had been tilted over into the floor and opened with a pry bar. Coins everywhere in the ash. He sat and ran his hand around in the works of the gutted machines, and in the second one, it closed over a cold metal cylinder. He withdrew his hand slowly and sat looking at a Coca-Cola.
"What is it, Papa?"
"It's a treat for you."
"What is it?"
"Here, sit down." He slipped the boy's knapsack straps loose and set the pack on the floor behind him, and he put his thumbnail under the aluminum clip on the top of the can and opened it. He leaned his nose to the slight fizz coming from the can and then handed it to the boy. "Go ahead," he said. The boy took the can.
"It's bubbly," he said.
"Go ahead." He looked at his father and then tilted the can and drank. He sat there thinking about it.
"It's really good," he said.
"Yes, it is."
"You have some, Papa."
"I want you to drink it."
"You have some."
He took the can and sipped it and handed it back. "You drink it," he said. "Let's just sit here."
"It's because I won't ever get to drink another one, isn't it?"
"Ever's a long time."
"Okay," the boy said.
By dusk of the day following, they were at the city. The long concrete sweeps of the interstate exchanges like the ruins of a vast funhouse against the distant murk. He carried the revolver in his belt at the front and wore his parka unzipped. The mummy dead everywhere. The flesh cloven along the bones, the ligaments dried to tug and taut as wires. Shriveled and drawn like latter-day bog folk, their faces of boiled sheeting, the yellowed palings of their teeth. They were discalced to a man, like pilgrims of some common order, for all their shoes were long since stolen. They went on. He kept a constant watch behind him in the mirror. The only thing that moved in the streets was the blowing ash. They crossed the high concrete bridge over the river, a dock below, small pleasure boats half-sunken in the gray water, tall stacks downriver, dim in the soot. The day following, some few miles south of the city, at a bend in the road and half lost in the dead brambles, they came upon an old frame house with chimneys and gables and a stone wall. The man stopped. Then he pushed the cart up the drive.
"What's this place, Papa?"
"It's the house where I grew up." The boy stood looking at it. The peeling wooden clapboards were largely gone from the lower walls for firewood, leaving the studs and the insulation exposed. The rotted screening from the back porch lay on the concrete terrace.
"Are we going in?"
"Why not?"
"I'm scared."
"Don't you want to see where I used to live?"
"No."
"It'll be okay."
"There could be somebody here."
"I don't think so."
"But suppose there is?"
He stood looking up at the gable to his old room. He looked at the boy. "Do you want to wait here?"
"No. You always say that."
"I'm sorry."
"I know, but you do."